Mr. Dave Saragino, who's the oldest of three Dave Saraginos. His wife Garrett is in the other room. And we're here to do an interview. And I was sort of wondering, this is kind of an interesting place here, you know, here nestled in the woods. Is all these trees yours?
Yes, that's where I'm at that side. That belongs to Galbraith. I've got another place on the other side of these trees. Up there, the old...
There's some down here on the other side.
Oh, yeah. I go clear across the rock creek down here. Over to that there other place over there, Harker Road place. You know where Dick Newman lives?
Oh, yeah.
Just this side of Dick. But I'm on this side of the road.
So you're one of the first people, I suppose. I suppose you sold property here to everybody.
No. No, I bought this property in 1926.
Is that when you came here?
No, I came here in 1892.
1892?
Yeah, up at the other place. I still had a place up there.
And so you were born here at the other place?
No, I was born in Portland, but then they dropped me out here before I was a month old. The rest of my brothers and sisters were born here.
How many do you have, brothers and sisters?
I have four brothers and three sisters.
Eight. Huh? You got eight?
In the family.
So there's nine kids.
Yeah.
And
one died when he was 11 years old, died of diphtheria. That was in 1908.
Oh, there's
so many. Yeah, there's eight now.
You made it through all those diseases. I know there was a polio epidemic going around.
Yeah, my family, there's three of us are up in the 80s, and three more are in the 70s, and then there's one going to be 70 next year, I guess. The other one, you know Rich, don't you? He's married the Langer girl?
No.
He's a tall guy, about tall as you are. He's about 63. He lives right up here, on the hill here. He's married to Gloria Lane. He's the youngest, mind. He's 62. All of them, except the one that died in this period.
Well, let's see now. Your parents then, where did they come from now? Are they? Where the family came over, or were they already here?
No. My father, he came from. He came here when he was 17 years old, and he came to Portland, I think, before the Civil War.
Oh.
And he lived in Portland, but he didn't come out here till 1891.
Oh, I see.
1891.
There were some famous people around here.
No, there wasn't.
Well, U.S. Grant was in Vancouver before the Civil War.
Yeah. When my father came to Portland, there was no railroads coming into Portland yet.
Oh.
Had to come by boat from San Francisco. Yeah.
Then he came from Italy then?
Yeah, he came from the very northern part of Italy, and my mother came from, she came from there too, that is, she was raised in Italy, but I think she was Swiss.
You probably don't know any relatives over there now.
No, we don't.
Pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know any. I might have a lot of relatives in California, though. On my father's side. Yeah.
So he came over here all by himself when he was 17?
Well, he had a brother that was over here. In fact, it was in San Francisco.
Oh.
He came there, and then he came to Portland.
So there's another side of the family running around in San Francisco?
Yeah.
There's
four or five different families down there.
Cousins to you then.
Uh-huh. One of my cousins lives up here at Rex. Right there, foot of the hill there where that big walnut, silver orchard is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the owner of the Del Monte Meat Market in Portland.
Yeah. Well, what kept him in Portland now? You say he came, your father?
What kept my father in Portland?
Yeah.
And then he went in the garden business in Portland. He was in the garden business. They were the first gardeners in Portland. My father and he had two or three partners in with him.
Gardening?
Vegetable garden.
Vegetable.
Yeah.
Are this is right in the city limits of Portland.
You mean?
You could actually raise a big garden. It must have been a pretty large garden.
Oh, yeah, they had, I think, 5 wagons going all the time. Then they shipped a lot of their garden stuff to Astoria and places like that by boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they made money at it, and they had some good customers in Oswego. They used to have smelters down there where they mined the ore out of that there.
Down Lake Oswego.
Iron Mountain, they call it. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
This
is the. What were they smelting? Iron?
Iron, uh-huh. Yeah. And putting all of the timber around here that was cut here, I can remember some of it. The Chinamen cut most of it in the cordwood. And then they hauled it over here to the Tualatin River and they floated it down the river to Oswego and they used that there for fuel to melt their iron ore.
You remember the Chinese?
Oh, good. There was more Chinamen here than there was white people. I remember that. They were here, well, let's see, the railroad went through here before my time, but not very much before. It went through here about in 85.
I think so, yeah. I was reading that book, I forget the date, but I remember something in there about the Chinese that were...
And they done most of the railroad building.
I know in places like Seattle and Tacoma, they were up there. They weren't treated too well. People would ride them out of town after dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I can still remember them. They had them long queues, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Portland, they put a big Chinatown there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was there yet up until, well, in 1905, that's when the Lewis and Clark Fair was in Portland. There were a lot of them there then, yeah.
Isn't Montgomery Ward, is that building, is that a carryover of the fair?
No.
Was that?
The fair was located up there on Giles Lake. They called it Giles Lake, but that's all filled in now. They got railroad yards in there, and they got great big buildings in there. I remember when that was a lake in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are really, really sorry about the fact that we've covered over all those, like, Solly Island and all that. Now most of the people out here were, the town was very big, was it?
Sherwood?
Yeah. There was a little Smockville yet, wasn't it?
They called it Smockville.
Yeah. It was still Smockville.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know anything about the man that gave it the name Sherwood, do you?
Well,
that was
1893. I heard that was in 1893?
I believe so, or 1892. 1892.
In 1892, that's the year I was born.
Oh.
But 1893, I'll tell you, I heard so many things about that. These old-timers that were here, like Galbert, old Joe Galbert, he was the oldest man here. And he had about 300 acres here. He fell heir to it. He married a woman that fell heir to it, and then he got it, see?
Uh-huh.
And he used to tell me that that when the railroad went through here, that I think was about 1885, anyway, the Smocks had a big house there in Sherwood, right near where the old station, you know where the old station was in Sherwood?
That's the one that's there now?
It's an old one, it's still there.
Yeah.
Well, they were just across the street from that, uh-huh. In that corner. It was a great big two-story house, and when the train went through there, the freight train, they always stopped, and they eat their meals there. Mrs. Crockett Fino, see?
Oh, I see.
She pushed that paper for her, yes. And she had a son, his name was Lee Smock, and I remember the day he got killed. He was a brakeman on the freight train, and he got killed up at Whiteson, up the valley there. And I know I was just a little kid, but maybe some of the older boys here were the Galbert boys and the Francisco. We went up to see him when they brought him in. And there was an undertaker in Sherwood by the name of Iman at that time. That was his last name. And he started to take care of him, and then Smocks didn't like it or something, and took him to Oregon City. They had the funeral from Oregon City. And that was about in, turn of the century. I can't tell you exactly the year, but I think it must have been about in 1904. think it was about 1904. Anyway, he was killed there. And after that, Mrs. Smart, she didn't care to have him stop there because it made her feel bad because her boy wasn't stopping there. See? But anyway, there was one of the brakemen on there that used to stop there too, and his name was Charlie Sherwood.
Now that's, I'll be darned.
That's what this here man, Galbert, used to tell me, see? He used to tell me that. Anyhow, I don't remember that, you see. I was pretty small. And I didn't go to Sherwood in them days much, you know, but he was up there every day. He was quite a drinker, and he was in the saloon all the time. Places like that. And anyway, every time he come to Sherwood, he'd get on a drunk, you see, a great one, you know? So they named it Sherwood after him, he says. Now, I don't know if that's so or not. I don't know that.
Now, I know my parents, my grand folks, they spoke a sort of a odd sort of language. It was sort of a mixture of English and German. Did you remember anything at all about how you spoke to your parents? What language you used? Did you speak Italian and English together?
Yeah, I can still speak Italian.
Oh, you can.
Just as good as I can English and read and write it. I'm the only one in the family that can.
Do you have something you'd like to say in Italian, or do you have a poem or something, or a little some sort of story that you used to tell or used to hear?
Maybe no, I can't think of that. Now they wouldn't understand it anyhow.
Well, that's all right. I like the language. It's an interesting language because it's, the words are easy to rhyme.
Well, yeah, that and Spanish is quite a bit like it. I understand real Spanish pretty good.
You can understand Spanish?
I'm real good, but I can make it out pretty well. It's not much different than Italian. Yeah. That is, the Mexican language is a little bit, it's not quite like the real Spanish language.
You've known people who spoke the real Spanish?
Well, yes, I have.
Here in this area?
No. I met some of them that was from Portland, I guess. They were coming to be around. There used to be quite a lot of Italians here in them days, too. And then at the old Italian families, there was Brasesco.
Yes.
He was one of the oldest here. He had two boys and one girl. And then there was Podesto, Louis Podesto. And then there was Billy Baracco and Joe Jaquero. Them were all old timers. They've been gone from here ever since 1907. Brasesco had.
They were out here then in this area before you came.
No.
They came
a little bit after, just a little bit after. But then there was Davy Righetto. And he cleared most of this swamp land down here, it's beaver dam, you know. And farmed it, raised onions there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was considered the onion king. In them days, this was about the only place they raised onions here. And Beaverton. You heard of Beaverton?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you ever heard of Fannels.
No.
That's down by Progress right there. There's some onion land in there. Then we're about the first raised onions in those places. And then this guy, Righetto, moved out of here in 1909, went over to Beaverton, and he died over there. Then there was quite a few other Italians here, too.
Now, could you understand each other? Would you call it a colony that came out together, or did they all come out on their own?
No. You know, the Italian language is a funny language. Every little town has got a different talk, and I guess the German's quite a bit the same.
Yeah.
But I can understand nearly all of them. I worked around them so much with the Italians.
Yeah, I heard it's a real problem, you know, provinces.
I know a lot of people can't understand, but I can understand nearly all, but I cannot understand the South Italians very good.
Uh-huh.
Those Sicilians, you've heard of them.
Yeah.
I can't understand them very good, and I don't care too much about it. See? I don't care for that mafia gang, you know, that black
gang. Yeah, I can stay away from me.
Yeah. You know, and outside of that, I always figured they were pretty good, honest people.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite Island descendants from them.
By the way, there's a lot written about it, about Italy now, and they say the people are, it's different from, the people are different because they're always fighting with each other. It's just sort of a, the things they call each other just can't be translated. There's no, you know, it's just sort of an art form or something. I don't know, it's something they do. I don't know if, maybe that's why.
I don't think all of those are Sicilians are bad people, though, far as that goes. But they've got that reputation of being the black hand business, you know, and the mafia, as they call
it. Yeah. Well, of course, that was supposed to be a protective sort of thing for the Italian immigrants, you know.
Yeah.
That's how it acted. Wasn't that really what, how it started?
Well, and this here place down here is called Saipol.
Is that how you pronounce the word, Saipol?
The right way to pronounce it is Cipolla.
Cipolla.
That's Italian.
Yeah, Cipolla. That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, Cipolla. And that used to be called Sandpit, that there place there. There was a station there, and they called it Sandpit. Mm-hmm. Then I think about 1901, I think it was, they changed the name to Saipol. Mm-hmm. This here Righetto, he lived right by the railroad station there, and he had sent to Italy to have his wife come over here and his daughter. And he wanted to change the name to Rosa, Santa Rosa, because his daughter's name was Rosie, see? Uh-huh. And they didn't have much use for him for some reason. And so they, that was a train crew, you know.
Oh.
So he was talking to them all the time about changing that name. Then they asked him how they pronounce onions in Italian, you know, because they were shipping so many out of there all the time, you know, every day they was shipping onions out of here. And he told them, so he said, well, we'll name it that.
So the railroad gave you the name.
So they did, they named it Saipol, and that's what it's been by that name all the time. It's just like Smartville, you know. Yeah, and I could tell you maybe a little bit about the school that used to be up here on the hill here. You ever hear about that?
No, there was, Yale, what did they call that?
They called it Yale College.
Yale College. That was, it was supposed to be a pretty good writer reputation.
Yeah,
well, I would like to know about that, because all I've seen is the name in the history, and that was it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's set right there where Dick Grumman's house sits now.
Oh.
There's where it was. And that was Sherwood and Saipol school combined. It was one school for the two districts.
Mm-hmm.
And
you went there?
Huh?
You go there?
No. They built in 1892, the year I was born. They split the district, built one school in Sherwood and one down here that is on my place right now. Yet down here.
There's a building there?
Yeah, it's pretty well rotted down now.
You can't see it from the road.
Yeah, you can. It's right up near the railroad track on my place.
Oh, absolutely.
I bought that in 1926. I bought that there, and I left it stand there until it brought it down. Yeah. And anyway, up here at this here school, it's interesting. I have some records of it that I got when I bought that school down there. There was a lot of the records that they had transferred from there and brought them down there. And I took them and I got, I think, a register or two, something.
They showed you the records right with the building, huh?
Yeah, and they was as high as 65, I think, and 70 with, in a one-room school in them days. And the way they... And they only had one grade, up to the eighth grade, you know.
Uh-huh.
And one teacher done it all for $30 a month.
Yeah.
That's what they got. It tells all about it. And the way they did the teachers, one week I'd take them and board them, then the next week they'd go to your place and board for a week. Mm-hmm. That's where they did it.
And how long would the teacher stay around?
I don't know, but the way it looked to me like they had a different teacher every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, because I remember my Uncle Raymond telling about that school, the parochial school by the Lutheran Church, and he was saying that there'd be grown men coming in there as eighth graders. You know, they never had the time to learn to read or anything. That might be an exaggeration, but some of those kids were bigger. They didn't like teachers. They just
I went to school up here. That's the only school I went to up there, and And there was kids coming to school there that was 20, 21 years yeah. old. That's the truth.
Did they have grades?
Huh?
Did they have grades?
Grades?
Yeah, I mean, did they have first grade, second grade?
Oh, yeah.
They did divide
They went by readers, they mm-hmm. didn't call them grades. He was in the first reader, I was in the second reader, he was in the fourth reader, fifth reader. That's what they did in those days.
But you never went to school there?
Not up here, no. I did over here.
Oh, at this other one that you own now. Now, let's see, you went to school in one year then. You started out as a first reader?
Yeah. Yeah, I started school when I was 5 years old.
Yeah, well, that's about right. That's where we do it now.
Well, in kindergarten, yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a kindergarten then. No. I had a hard time, though, when I started school. I couldn't say a word in English. See, my folks talked that time.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know one word in English. And, a boy used to tease me, you know. But it didn't take me long.
How many kids were like you that way? How many other kids couldn't speak? What was the language, English? Was what the teacher spoke? The teacher didn't know any language but English?
Yeah, that's all that the teacher knew. It might have been some of them could speak German, I don't know now. But they never did, that I know of.
Now, you didn't know other kids in the school that spoke German?
Didn't know Italian?
Or Italian. Did you know other kids that spoke Italian?
Not right then, okay. When I started, but then maybe 4 or 5 years later, there was one boy came from Italy there, and boy, he had a time too.
Oh.
And he was about 14, 15 years old, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, he's had a lot of fun with him. Yeah.
Yeah. You could talk to him, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could talk to him. Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that, because they always speak of the German settlement, but they never speak of the Italians here. Uh-huh. And I think that's a story that should be told.
Yeah. So I guess we're the only Italian family around here.
You're the only one left?
Yeah.
You notice it's kind of unusual in this day and age to have all three generations living right on the same place.
Yeah.
That seems like it must be kind of nice to have everybody so close.
Yeah, we're all pretty close together. Mm-hmm. One of my sisters lives in Sherwood. Maybe you knew her. They have a store at Six Corners there, Riser.
Oh, yeah.
That's my sister.
Oh, it was.
Uh-huh. Her husband died last year.
Oh, he did?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
A year ago in December.
Didn't he have a son or something that died in a car accident?
No, that was his grandson.
Yeah.
Grandson. Bobby. Bobby Riser. Yeah, down there.
Oh. Yeah, I remember the Riser store real well because they had a TV set up there and they kept it going all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you stand there and watch the TV set and they'd be checking the groceries out and they'd tap me on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
But something else I was gonna what did this area look like? You said the swamp had to be cleared. What did the swamp look like?
Well,
what about wildlife? You remember anything like that?
Yeah, there was you know what buckbrush is?
No.
It don't get very tall, and it grows awful thick. It had a lot of buckbrush on it, and willow trees, and ash trees, mostly, and a few cedar trees, things like that.
Cedar trees.
Uh-huh. But most of it was cleared when I can remember, but there was some to clear yet. I know my father cleared some of it.
If you went out and looked out in that direction maybe 60 years ago, what would it look like out there?
You couldn't see the highway from here.
You couldn't see the highway.
No, it's all trees and brush.
All trees.
Uh-huh. Just that old. When me and my wife moved down here, that was in 1926. No, it was in 26 when I bought this place. I bought this place in 1926. 60 acres I bought at that time here. And then when we got married, we moved down here. And the only thing we could see here was the blue sky. We couldn't see out the trees all around us just like that.
Yeah, but they were around the swamp. The swamp was cleared.
Oh, yeah, the swamp was cleared. I know that, but we couldn't see down to the swamp on account of the trees.
Yeah, where our house
was. Well, why don't you come on in here and tell me about what happened after you guys got married? When did you get married?
Well, I'm in the cookie business. Right?
Well, you're in the cookie business. It's not fair.
Well, they know all about everything, so.
Well, you got married then, and how old were you with them when you got married?
I've been married about 46 or 7 years,
And you built this house, or?
Yeah.
Well, you did.
I didn't build it myself.
Oh.
I did all the concrete work and all of that. I used to do quite a bit of that work.
Yeah, but we didn't live in this when we got married. We had another new house.
Yeah, I had another new house. We had another house. Me and my brother built that. And it's setting up here on the hill, across from Dick Grumman's place there. Right across from him, from his place, that nice little house that sits in there.
A white house next to Walter's.
Yeah.
Oh.
They moved it up there. I sold it.
They moved it.
Mm-hmm. 5-room house.
How high has this water ever gotten out of here? You ever have been worried about the water getting up here to the house?
Or? Not this house, no. But the other house, we got pretty worried one time. We packed it, had everything packed to move out, and the water came right up to the door, but the next day it started to go down. But the highest I've seen it here was in 33 and in 34, both years, it came up pretty near to my barn down here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another thing I always wondered about. I've heard people saying back in about, 1912 or something like that, they used to take the cows out in April. They say the weather was different. It was warmer. Is that an unusual year that they remember? And I remember too, my dad used to watch it. He used to sit out there on the front porch and watch the thunder clouds going down the Columbia River. You know, it'd be a thunderstorm almost every night. Uh-huh. Weather is a little different, isn't it?
Well, it is different, yes. It's quite a bit different. We used to get colder weather here too in the wintertime than we have here lately. It used to get pretty cold here. In fact, I've seen this here swamp freeze over that people from Portland had come out here and skate here. Yeah. Skate on the ice here. Just full of people here skating.
That hasn't happened.
Well, it happened here when what was it, Gerda, that car got...
Oh, yeah, that was a few years ago.
Yeah, I know, very long ago. Yeah. They could skate.
Very long ago, a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I walked across the Tualatin River on the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that.
Yeah, that's the truth. And my father, that's before I was born, he told me that he used to drove a wagon with horses across the river there in Portland on the Willamette.
I've heard that story.
He did that. And he had pictures of it. And I think your dad did too, didn't he, Gerda?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, he hauled bricks across there. He told me he was working for a brickyard and deliver bricks and go across on the ice with the load of bricks. Yeah. So that's getting pretty cold.
Yeah, it is. But now you'd say that there is a difference then.
Yeah, there's difference. There's lots of difference, I think.
Yeah, snow almost every year, maybe.
Huh?
Do you have snow every year?
Yeah, we used to. The last big snowstorm we had here that I remember that real well was in 1943. And that year it was pretty deep and stayed quite a while. But we have snow near every year. This year we haven't had hardly anything.
No, we had a few mixed with rain. This has been unusual for the wind.
Yeah, we had more wind though this year than we have had, I think, during the winter time.
It's been an unusual year, I think.
When
summer, do you recall at all when the seasons have changed? Now this is another question. That summer seemed to start earlier and last longer.
Well, I don't know if it lasted any longer or not, but it started earlier in the spring. Yeah. We could get on this land down here. See, that's pretty wet land, you know, down here.
Yeah.
And we could get on there. I remember planting onions in there in March. Now some years we can't get them in there until May.
And you did this from one year to the next. You planted them in March.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the old, did you ever go to the old 4th of July festival in the summer?
In Sherwood?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that was really something. Right?
Yeah, sure it was, yeah.
There's a dance hall there.
Yeah, out there in Langer's Grove, that's the one you have reference to?
No, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, there was a, that was an old dance hall there, but I never did go to the dance there. But I run the dance hall in Sherwood for 5 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And that was famous for its floor. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful hardwood floor.
Yeah. It had palm trees in it, and it was a pretty place, you know. It had maple floors. Yeah, I run that for 5 years.
Well, you run it.
I didn't own it. I run it for Lawrence McConnell.
Well, excuse me, what was his name?
Lawrence McConnell.
Lawrence
he was a postmaster there for 20-some years or more in Sherwood. Yeah. Yeah, and I run the ball club in Sherwood too.
Baseball?
5 years of that too.
Yeah. Now, is it true that they've sent some of those ball players to the major leagues?
You mean Dell Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew Dell real well.
He used to play with the Detroit Tigers, is that right?
Huh?
Did he go and play with the Detroit Tigers?
Yeah, he played with Portland, he played with Oakland, and he played with San Francisco, and from here he went to Helena, Montana. Wanted to start with him. Finally ended up in Detroit. He was their catcher. For Detroit, and then he played in the World Series too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't win, but they
he
got to be in the World Series.
There was he was the only one that ever made it that far.
Yeah, he had it was Bert, Tom, Chick. Chick was as good a ball player as Dell was, maybe better, but he didn't have it up here. Didn't have a hit. But he was sure a good ball player. He was my catcher when I run the club up here.
Did you play on the team? I heard it was a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I had
two brothers on the team. Sam and John both played on the team. I had so many different pitchers. It was all fenced in, the park was, you know. And it has a nice grove there with a cannery.
Where the cannery is?
Uh-huh, on this side right there. And then they sold it, and I hate to see that go. But it's a nice, shady place there, you know, and it was all fenced, you know, board fence around it. And we used to have big crowds. We'd take in as high as $150 every Sunday.
Yeah, every Sunday.
Uh-huh. And they only charged 2 bits.
You remember the players? I remember there was a parrot on the team when they were
Betty Parrot was there.
Some of these people, they almost seemed like, must have been giants. They had mountains named after them.
Yeah, Freddie Parrott, he was a good ball player and a nice, fine man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a nice man. And then there was the Todd boys, and you heard of them probably, the
I
Todd.
Think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they were the Baker boys. They were good ball players.
And they all lived here?
Yeah, they're mostly up on the hill up there, you know.
Yeah.
Then we had another guy playing on there by the name of Board, Bob Board. He died. He died in 1956. He died young. He was quite a ball player too.
Is he the same fellow that had the fruit stand down the road?
He was his brother.
Oh, his brother.
Uh huh. And let's see who else we had. Oh, it had so many different ones that played there. I think we be in the leagues, you know.
Yeah.
And we played for the championship of the state 2 different years, but we didn't win. We only got beat by 1 score one time, and I think 3 or 4 the other. I still got my record.
You sure we never won the state championship?
No, we never won it. But we beat the best teams, semi-pro teams out of Portland, though.
Oh.
Yeah, we beat them. The Port of Portland had the best 1 year, we beat them.
So some of those kids from...
We used to play the Indians from Grand Round.
Oh, they're right?
Yeah.
The Indians.
Yeah, but it wasn't too much.
You don't remember too much about Indians. There's a lot of, I know my uncles used to dig up arrowheads out there.
Oh yeah, we get lots of them here every year in the Beaver Dam.
Wonder why that was. I wonder why there were so many.
Well, why there were so many here. Where did your brothers dig them up at?
Oh, you dig them up over at the creek bottom over there.
Uh-huh. They always stay around where there'd be ducks and things around the water, see? That's why they're here. That's what I think. Yeah, I found some...
There must have been a heck of a lot of Indians.
No, I don't remember any Indians around
here.
Yeah,
you don't remember.
Now, I used to see them go through, go from Grand Round, from the coast, they'd go to Oregon City in the spring when the salmon was running, you know, to catch salmon, you know.
They over there at Oregon City?
They'd go through here on horses, you know.
Was there any?
And most of the time they camped right down here by Florida, put near where the cemetery is, along this side.
Did they dress like...
Oh, they dressed about like we did.
Yeah.
Some were painted up a little.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What about gypsies? We talked about the Chinese, we talked about Indians. Do you remember the gypsies?
Oh, yeah, I remember the gypsies. There used to be lots of them.
Yeah.
You had to watch them.
They were amazing.
They would steal anything they could get their hands on.
Or is it... I remember stories, a fellow read owned a meat market, and they'd come in, they wanted to pay a certain price for something, and he said, no, it's not enough, you don't have enough money. So the guy would go out and he'd barter around with some other people, and he'd come back and he'd have the money. They had a talent for that.
Yeah.
They never camped here, that you remember?
Oh yeah, they used to camp right up here in Langer's Grove, they called it.
Is that right?
Yeah, that was right there where... there where the service station is on this side, you know, there where the TV outfit is. Right in there, that was all a fir tree grove there, and he's camped there.
Just on a regular...
Yeah, they stay there sometime a week at a time. They travel with wagons and horses in them days.
What did the wagons look like? Were they
ordinary? Yeah, and they had them covered, some of them, you know,
covered,
the shower. And they, then later on, they travel in cars, and they didn't travel in small ones either. They had Cadillacs, most of them.
Yeah, they still do. Portland still has a lot of gypsies.
Yeah, I know they did.
It seems like they never, they may as well be out walking in the middle of the desert somewhere as walking around downtown. The kids are yelling at the top of their lungs.
Yeah.
Running this way and that. You never had, did you ever run across any, did you ever meet any?
Oh yeah, they used to come out here and want to tell you a fortune, you know.
Oh?
And you had to watch them, they get their hand in your pocket and get your money too.
Yeah?
You bet. They were mostly ladies that did that.
Oh know? Yeah?
Yeah.
They, moved out with the cars and, there was never any people around here didn't get too upset about having them around.
Well, a lot of them complained this and that, you know. But they used to go out and, you know, they used to. You wasn't raised on a farm, though, was you?
Not really. No. It was on a truck.
You probably heard about these binders they had when they used to bind you. They'd go out to their night,
steal the grain.
It's not like any other land. You can take a ton of coal down 25 feet down here. When you're through the plate, there ain't even. The plate only runs about that deep, and you've been having that vegetation all rotted up.
That's what you call beaver dam.
That's rather the land isn't beaver dam, it's plate though.
The top of it is good, but underneath the steel dam, clear down.
How does the vegetation get underneath the clay? How does all that vegetation get underneath the clay?
Well, that was all beaver dam when I was a boy, the whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah, but then if you work it, it turns into clay.
Oh, I see.
But it doesn't go down too far. This far, where there's a lot of moisture, it don't turn into clay. This wood gets dried out.
So that's pretty rich soil.
Oh, I'll say so. Yeah. That soil has always, ever since I can remember, you could never buy any of this beaver dam down here where they raise onions for less than $1,000 an acre.
Yeah, it's real good soil.
Yeah, I still remember the brickyard in Sherwood, too.
That's another thing, yeah. Some people said that Robert Alexander is old, the Greek guy.
The other ladies and clean up the house, and then they'd have a dance, you know, and they'd have a cake theater all the time.
They'd have a dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was the kind of dance that was there. You weren't here with it, you know, the frog
with it. Well, it was some kind of a German dance that Theodore and Carla dance it together when they get half drunk, you know. So, boy, I probably had more fun than I ever want. And so, Carla was pretty good playing there. Then when Constantine, the recording, he was playing that. He wasn't too bad, but he was pretty fair. But Theodore didn't think he was playing that right, so that's him. He gets it. He was feeling pretty good. He kept pulling, he pulled it apart. I had to go up there. They'd come and tell me, now you got to come there. Oh, there'd be full house there. Everybody had a big time. Bring plenty of food we used to bring all the time. I think he used to bake cake for us 2 days ago.
Well, they
furnished
most of it.
Most of it, yeah, they did.
They
were nice guys.
There was a
sleepwalker. By the church.
I don't think he did that. I know I used to take him to the doctor in Portland. And all three had to go along. They used to be nice down here, and there'd be showers come up, you know, and they had umbrellas, and they'd hold their umbrella open, and they'd put one hand, you know, on their hands and knees.
Well, it's not too unusual to carry an umbrella.
They always had umbrellas, though. Wherever they went, they carried an umbrella.
It sounds like a bunch of gossip, but it is interesting. Now, they had a little expression that they used, didn't they? I remember when they came to my dad's house, when they came to church.
They're going to his church.
They get there and they prepare watch. And every morning, they finally prepare the watch. And they had a little expression that whenever you were talking to them, one would say something like
that. Yeah, that was it.
Then
Carl, you know, lost his leg, you know, at the last. He had the, I guess that'd be it. Anyway, Theodore, Carl couldn't get around with one leg very good, you know.
Yeah.
And Theodore was going to show him, he's feeling pretty good, you know. They liked to drink, but they wouldn't get player drunk. They always tend to say this, but they liked to drink a little. He was going to show him how to go, you know. And he took that and started hopping around with his crutch, and he fell down and couldn't get up. His luck was going to show that guy that had his leg off, you know.
There was too late to
go down, couldn't get up. Yeah, he laid down there. He couldn't get up for a while. I guess finally got up maybe, but Carl laughed at him to beat everything. Oh, they got along good together. But they never was married, you know.
Yeah.
Got along real good.
They don't know either.
There were some, Mike, there was another one.
Herman?
Yeah. You remember those guys?
Oh, yeah. I remember them all.
This is Ed Greenwald, is George Councilman's daughter, and Richard Councilman, you know him?
Yeah.
Well, their dad was George Councilman.
I guess he was the biggest one of the, he was a, Uncle Armin recalls that he had a laugh that was...
He was a big man.
Yeah.
I seen that guy eat a ham put near it one time by himself, and he'd go to the... He hauled lumber mostly, is what he did with horses, you know. And he'd get the show and he'd have to go to the saloon, you know, and drink a little beer. And then he'd go to the butcher shops and get him a great big bunch of hamburger and he'd eat it raw.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah?
That's probably didn't kill him.
Well, I know somebody that can eat it raw now. He's not in this house, but they don't live too far away.
Well, that's not...
Beef won't hurt you to eat it that way if you like it. I don't.
Is that right?
No, pork could kill you.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, anyhow, George, your councilman, I gave him a ride from Sherwood. I think it was in 1923. He was up there paying his taxes, and he asked me how I was up there. I told him I'm up there in my car. Then I ride home with you, he said. I said, all right. So he rode home with me, and then. That night, I think he died. He just dropped off the heart attack. And John died that way too, heart attack, didn't he?
Yeah, they found him dead in bed.
Yeah. John, you know then where Benny's place was?
Yeah, I was wondering where that mill was.
The mill was just below there.
Yeah, about a quarter of a mile.
Down there, a little further down that road.
We used to go, when we were kids, they had the mill pond down there, and they had an old log that was just a half old log, and it was in the mill pond, and we used to go down there and ride on that log with poles. We'd pull it around like a boat in the mill pond.
They had a mill pond.
Yeah, well,
there
we had
the... It was on a creek then, yeah.
The water came from a creek into it. They used to put out good lumber.
Mrs. McTimmons, who's an in-law of them, she brought some of the old pictures of Russia. I don't have them now, but they had some pictures of that old lumber and stuff all piled up there. Mm-hmm. They had the whole work crew. You might even have known some of the people in that picture.
Well, my mother used to help cook in the cookhouse when the mill was in operation.
That was sort of a little one-room shack, wasn't it? Is that right? With a porch on the front?
No, the cookhouse was bigger than when I remember it, was quite a bit bigger. They didn't only have one room inside, but it wasn't really small.
It was built out of 1x12s, I know.
Yeah.
But I never used to.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. Cause after building helping my dad build that house, 2x12, 1x12. That's in a straight grain. You can't buy lumber like that now.
Uh-uh.
Anything with a knot in it, they just threw it out.
Yeah. In them days, but now they take most anything. And they used to sell it for 10 cents a cord, standing. People would cut it to make wood out of it. 10 cents a cord. Think of that.
10 cents a cord.
Yeah. The boys used to tell me that. Yeah.
Do you ever count rings on the trees?
Yeah.
How far back did you get? Do you remember? I bet you got back to close to 700 years in some of those.
I don't remember no more. That big tree of ours up here, Gerda, I cut down, that the wind broke the top out of it. It was about 7 feet through. That was a big one. The biggest one was on the place.
7 feet from one side to the other?
Right across it, like this.
Yeah,
if I laid down next to it, it would still be a foot taller than I would be. If I just stood next to it, it would be a foot taller than me.
Yeah. Yeah. I see one 12 feet across.
12 feet.
Right down here, 12 of them. But it was broken off. The wind had broken off. It's so old. And I don't know if it stands anymore or not. It was on Mark Nassie's place. He was an Italian too, Mark Nassie. It was on his place. He was an old timer here.
They cut that all down with handsaws?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you ever do that?
Oh, did I?
Lots of times.
Oh, yeah.
I suppose were you affected by the Depression? Do you remember anything unusual about that?
Yeah, we made good money.
Oh?
That's right, we did. Yeah, it just happened, it was a good business that year.
Depression wasn't bad.
Didn't bother us a bit, no. Everybody made good money off of the onions that year.
But some years we didn't.
Oh yeah, some years we didn't have it so good. Oh, I can't complain. Onions has been awful good to me. I can say that much. I wasn't in it like my boy is. He had over 100 carloads this year, I guess.
Yeah. Wait, did it all go to Portland?
No, a lot of it went to Japan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He shipped lots over there. How many about? 40 or 50 carloads, didn't he?
Well, I don't know how many carloads, but...
She knows more than I do, because she's been working up there.
I think he shipped between 50 and 60,000 sets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Then he shipped lots to Portland and California and Chicago and New York, Pennsylvania. Oh, he's got quite a nice outfit up there.
What about...
Yeah, that income tax is quite a thing, all right, but you got to do it. But if you're paying income tax, you're making a little money too. If you didn't have to pay no income tax, you wouldn't be making nothing either. You know what I mean? No, if you have to pay an income tax, you've got something left for yourself too.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean, don't you?
Yeah. But if you didn't pay any income tax,
then you're not making it.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now, I was wondering though, if you could all of a sudden go back to when you were 10 years old, what differences would you see? If somebody told you that maybe someday you'd fly through the air in an airplane, would you believe them in 10 years?
They used to talk about it in them days already, that they would be flying in they called them flying machines. They didn't call them flying machines.
Airplane.
Yeah.
Remember the idea that you'd be able to watch a man walking on the moon?
Yes, I never could have believed that, but it happened.
Yeah. Very rocky. It's unusual to see a lot of rock around this country.
Well, I'll tell you, the rock starts here on my place down here. There's no rock down here. You can't find a one in the Beaver Dam here.
Yeah.
Starts here, and it goes to Wilsonville. The rock that's clear over to Wilsonville. There's just a strip through there.
Is that right?
Well, now you take from here, you go up on my other place. There's 100 acres between my place, this place, and my other place up here. And up there, it's all sand. You could make concrete with it.
Is that right?
Plaster houses with it. Yeah.
I got an
irrigation well out here. One of the best there is in the country, I guess. They put a test on there. They run it 85 hours, night and day, without stopping. And it's only 144 feet deep.
Oh my God.
And that there well, in that time, they pumped out 480 gallons a minute for 85 hours, and then they had 40 feet of water yet to go.
Oh, gee. Well, that's a well.
Yeah, and we irrigate all the land with it from down here. I got a big stream down here.
When was that well dug?
Huh?
When was the well dug? Was it dug during a dry year at one time?
No, it was dug in, I think, in 60, let's see, about 6 or 8 years.
68, I think.
When?
I think it was dug in 68.
68, I think.
What time do you eat? Am I getting in on your...
No.
Moving your...
When you get old, you don't need much to eat.
Well, that's an advantage of getting old.
I don't know about that.
For different farmers that...
Rick said they used to make here sure they were pretty good, weren't they?
Well, they took the prize at the St. Louis Fair.
Oh. I suppose a lot of buildings in Portland are built with those bricks, aren't
they? That house I got up above there, the basement's all built out of Sherwood bricks. Got a basement under it, all out of bricks. And the fireplaces and all of that. No, they made good bricks up there. Then the Gardner brothers, they made cigars. You know where the cleaning places are in Sherwood?
Yeah.
There was a two-story building there at that time. And there was a saloon underneath it. And up above, they had their cigar shop in there where they made cigars. And quite a few of the boys from around here learned the cigar trade in there.
Is that right? That's an odd industry for up here. I guess it was just cheaper to get the raw materials and make the cigars here.
Yeah, and then from there they moved to Portland and had a cigar shop in Portland there on First and Madison, I think it was, and had a saloon down there. Gardeners were, I think they were German boys. And I knew one of their boys, Eddie Gardner, pretty well.
Livery stable, I was right there.
The livery stable was right there where the barber shop is now. It was a great big building right there. That was the livery stable. And all these drummers that come out here, you know what a drummer is? These guys, they call them drummers that used to go around and call on all the
shows,
stuff like that. They'd always stop there and hire livery teams to haul them to different places, like go to the shows or where there was no railroad, they'd have them hired there. And old Higgy run that livery stable in them days. And it was a big building. And then I could start right down there where Dr. Saylor. Did your dad ever talk about Dr. Saylor? I think he was there.
No.
Huh?
Real doctor?
Yeah. He was a real doctor, but he wasn't too much of a doctor.
Say, don't say anything. It's all getting on there.
Well,
just
his man's
quiet.
Dead, so, you know.
Yeah, but I should
have said. People are...
Well, anyway,
anyway,
my father always had that doctor, too, as far as that goes. I don't know, I didn't go...
You remember when they were building the brick building?
Oh, yeah. Watkins was the one that owned that to start with, that built it. Yeah. I remember they built that. And right there where that building is now, on the corner there of part of the building, but that building wasn't there then. There was a harness shop there. And there's where Albert Meinecke, you heard of Meinecke.
Oh, yeah.
This is where he learned the harness business trade, right there. He could build harness himself. Rollick was the one that owned it, and Mrs. Rollick still lives in Sherwood, but her name isn't Rollick anymore, it's Graham, isn't it, Gerda?
Yeah.
Graham, she still lives. She must be close to 100. And she was Rollick's wife. And Rollick, he started out, he had that building built.
Yeah.
Rollick did. Watkins built it.
And this is where the real estate office is?
Huh?
Is that where the real estate office is? Is this the one they mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seems to me like that cost $12,000 when they built that.
Yeah. Nice brick. Was that Sherwood brick?
No, I think it's Wilhelmina, but I wouldn't say for sure. I don't know for sure, but I think it's Wilhelmina. I'm pretty sure, though. And, well, from Sailors down there, then you come up the block there, right on the corner, there's where that... There was a saloon there and a cigar store, a cigar shop up above. And the first...
That's where Drummond is now.
Where Drummond is now. And right next to Drummond, there was a little garage there made out of galvanized stuff like most of my buildings are. And there's where they had the first electric lights. And they had a dynamo, or what do they call them, dynamos, I guess.
Yeah.
And they had a gas engine to run it.
Generator,
yeah. Generators, what they'd call it, and that's when the first electric lights in Sherwood was, and those lights, when it come 9 o'clock at night, they'd go out.
Oh.
They'd blink a couple or three times, and then you knew you had to be prepared for it, and they'd go out, because that's as long as they'd run. And us kids just go up there and watch that thing run. We thought that was something.
Yeah.
Gasoline engine running, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And gosh, that's. A long time ago, Epler was the guy that I think had that. And then the old Moorback house, that's where the city hall is now,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. There they had a big water tank there, way up in the air it stood.
Yep.
They pumped the water up to it.
There was a story about the bartender at one of the taverns who took a bet. He was a really rather fat guy, I guess, and he took a bet to it. And he, somebody bet him that he could climb it. He had an Oriental sounding name. I hope he wasn't Oriental. they took him up. He went up there, but he got up there and he lost his nerve, you know. So his friends that dared to go up first place, they went and tied a rope around his waist and threw him over the edge.
Let him down.
Yeah, they let him down. And everybody came out to hear him. He was hollering.
I never did hear that.
That might have been that was back in the 1890s, you know.
Uh-huh.
I suppose. I was just wondering if it was the same water tank.
Yeah, that was the same one, as far as I know. I know when they first put it up and then they took it down.
Woeda was his name. Woeda.
That
Tom
right?
Woeda. Something like that.
Never heard that name.
There were more than one tavern all the time, wasn't there?
Saloons, they called them. I think one time they had five there, if I remember.
Yeah, it could have been.
There was four, I can remember four of them being there at once. Yeah. And,
remember what it was like in those things during the...
The saloons?
Yeah, the Prohibition or any other time?
I
was wondering what they did during the Prohibition.
They had no more saloons during Prohibition.
They closed them up?
Oh, yeah, in Portland, too, every place.
I thought maybe they'd have near beer or something like that.
Well, yeah, they did have near beers. One or two had near beer in Sherwood. That was over there where the pool hall is now. Who runs that tavern there? I don't know.
Colbeck, is that right?
I never do go in there.
Cofell.
It's Cofell building. Yeah, I remember when they built that building. Yeah. The fire cleaned that block from there.
We saw a fire out there.
July.
Oh.
On the 4th of July it was. The night before the 4th of July. And the next day they, because they were celebrating in Sherwood, you know, celebrating the 4th, they got some planks and boards together and by golly, they sold beer like mad there. Yeah. And there was another doctor in Sherwood by the name of Dr. Rickard. He was a good old doctor. He was an old Navy doctor. And he was awful slow getting to you if you wanted him for come to your house. They all used to go to the house.
Yeah.
But when he got there, he knew what he was doing. And he never gave you any medicine unless he tasted it first himself.
Right.
Yeah. And he'd use a lot of powders, I know, and he'd have newspapers and he'd put it in a little piece of newspaper and wrap it all up, a little capsule like it. Wrap it up big. Yeah?
Then you're
his name was Rickard. Rickard. R-I-C-K-A-R-D. Then later years, in 1922, I think it was, Dr. Rucker. You heard of him probably.
I think so.
Yeah, he came to Sherwood.
Well, they had Becker too, did
they? Yeah, well, they had Becker, yeah. And they had Littlefield, not Littlefield, but Barcroft for a while.
Aldridge?
Yeah, Dr. Aldridge. He was a retired doctor from...
They all came through different times.
Huh?
Different times.
Yeah, because Aldridge didn't care much about practicing. He was retired. He was from New York City.
Oh.
Boy, he was a good doctor.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. He saved quite a few people's lives around. Yeah.
I don't suppose, what time are we talking about now? Is this about 20s or something like that?
Well, we are on this here, Dr. Dr. Rucker, he come in the 20s now.
Yeah,
yep. Sure.
Tell him where Rickard had his office.
Where would he have had his office then?
You mean this...
where was the doctor's office?
This Dr. Rickard, this old Navy doctor?
Yeah.
Well, he had it... I don't know what they do in that place now.
Nothing. It's in that place where it was that Half Price Country Store.
Oh.
Right across from the
funeral
farm.
That building that old?
Well, that's where Walt Bullen used to have his.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could go up there at 12 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning and he'd always be sitting there in a chair asleep. He never would have been.
Is that right?
He was an old bachelor.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He'd just read himself to sleep or something.
Maybe he slept in the chair. I don't know. But a lot of times we'd have to go get the doctor at night. I used to
fully clothed. He never takes clothes off. He just sits there with a suit on, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
I suppose you're expecting people to call you any old time.
And they had a butcher shop right there on the corner where Art Krebs, does he still live there?
He lives in the double-story house.
Just a little bit off of the corner, don't he? Right on the corner there was a butcher shop there when I was a kid. The old Pete Meeks run that butcher shop. And then later years, people lived in that house there for a while too by the name of Fletcher. And then Herman Wagner came there. And he was a baker. He had a baker shop in there. He was a German.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite a guy. Didn't he get killed on the highway or something? He got hurt anyhow out here?
He was married to Rose.
Oh,
to Rose
Fisher.
Yeah, I remember her.
He was quite a guy, this guy. He's a good baker, all right, but he drank some.
Yeah. Same.
I think people are pretty open-minded about this.
Yeah, but...
You know, but...
Everybody knew it.
Well, there used to be a fellow who used to walk around with a wooden leg.
I didn't know that man very well. He lived right there close where Chris lives, back up Chris there. I didn't know that man. That was in later years.
Yeah, because
I used to be in Sherwood Lodge, when I was a younger man. Since me and Gert had been married, I never went to Sherwood very much, did I?
Oh, I wouldn't let you.
Oh, yeah.
Still a wild town.
They did kidnap me, huh?
No, that wasn't it. But...
No, I didn't run around too much anymore then. But before that, I knew what was going on.
Yeah. Now, did they have parades? Back with those 4th of July celebrations where there were parades?
Yeah. Well, not so much 4th of July as they did Robin Hood, they always had.
They had a Robin Hood festival back then?
No, not that far.
Not that far.
No, no. Uh-uh. But they'd have their 4th of July down there where the ballpark was, where I told you the ballpark was.
Yeah, where the cannery is now. Is that right?
Yeah, just the part of the cannery is there. Now, I guess all the trees are gone from there now.
Well, they got that manufacturing plant there.
Back there now, yeah. I don't know.
Fordad?
I don't know.
Nobody seems to know.
No,
well, that's where the ballpark was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, I guess Fordad is, if that's, you know, they're the ones that are sort of behind the cannery and they roam, you know. We're hoping that they're going to get involved in this storefront remodeling. Oh. I guess the guy that runs that wants to get involved with it. But that's, we're kind of looking forward to getting more of those buildings into it. Getting that old English style on, you know.
One thing they had in Sherwood, in them days, they had an awful good barber. A fellow by the name of Frank Lucas and Pearl White, they were a partnership. Boy, they were two of the best barbers they ever was around the country. Yeah, and they were there for a good many years.
I wonder what building that was.
That was, what they would call that building. I guess it was right next to the Wickert building there. You know where the Wickert building was, Berta? Where, I don't know what's in there now.
Well,
I think the Masonic Hall has part of it now, yeah. Right in there, that's where the barbershop was. Right there, yeah.
And then, let's see, somebody was talking about, they used to bring movies around. Was there a Chautauqua or anything like that that used to come around? You said something about medicine shows or something.
I did?
No, I guess not.
Did
they have any show, traveling show or anything like
that? Well, yeah, there used to be that guy that was peddling soap. He put on a show. That's a long time ago. That was long before the war, I think. Before the World War One. I mean, I don't know what they call it. His show. HISS show. And then he'd advertise medicine, you know, and he'd sell quite a bit of it. He was quite a talker.
The patent medicine? What did he do for a show? Did he have people that danced or something?
Yeah, jig, you know, stuff like that. And sing. Oh, yeah. And things that way. Yeah.
At the dance hall, what kind of music did they use?
Well, I used to hire the music to pick out the things that I wanted.
What kind of, did they play, what?
Well, they played up-to-date tunes, you know, in those days, what they was, you know. Well, they had a local orchestra in Sherwood there. I know all the guys that were in it. There's only one living that I know of around.
You're the Woody Hype Band.
No, that had nothing to do with them. They were too young in them days.
Yeah.
Yeah, Woody Hype's got a pretty good band, I guess. But you only can have a band for a while and then it runs out.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to get another one. And then we'd go to Portland and get them out, see?
Oh.
That's what we did. And we'd have them maybe for a couple of months, 3 months maybe, then we get a different one. Mm-hmm. People would get tired of the same one, you see? Yeah. Yeah, they used to take in quite a bit of money there every Saturday night. Didn't have as high as 145, 150 couples there every Saturday. That's quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
For a little town like that.
Yeah. But you ever see the old movies in Portland? You ever see any of those old...
we used to go to Portland, some of the kids around here, and go together. And take in those Nickelodeons.
Oh.
You heard of them too?
Yeah.
And different. And we'd always go to the Pantages when they change shows. We never pass one of them up. The Pantages, that was a theater in Portland.
Yeah.
They had good shows there.
Was there only about one theater or something like that? Or?
Oh, no. There was the Orpheum and the Pantages and the Baker. And there was another one. I can't think of it right now, the name of it. No, there was quite a lot of them.
You'd always take the steam train?
Huh?
The steam locomotive?
Oh, yeah, that's where we go.
That's how you go?
Yeah.
There was no way to go from here by horse and buggy. That would be unthinkable.
Well, you could go, but it took so long. You know?
How long would it take? You'd have to start out about 9 o'clock to get there. When would you get there then?
You mean 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Charlie used to start out here with a wagon. Two horses in a wagon. He had a load, though, of produce on there. And he started out here about 9 o'clock in the evening, and get there in the morning about 5. Go all night.
You start at 9 o'clock in the evening and get there at 5 next morning.
I think at that time when the early market was opening up.
So that really started at 9 o'clock, 5 in the morning.
Take about 7
boy,
minutes.
Now you can get in there in 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes, you can go there.
Do you remember the old, they used to sell a lot of wood here, didn't they? Take it down to the...
Up here at Sherwood.
Yeah, they haul it into Portland on the railroad.
Yeah, the train was just, the freight train was loaded with wood every day.
That was the main way to heat Portland, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they burnt wood in Portland all together and in there, you know. And you take it to Portland and to the wood yards. And the wood yards, it saw some of it up and delivered if they wanted, but most of them, they delivered it right to their houses, in front of their house on the street. Mm-hmm. Then they come along with the wood saw and saw it up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the wood saw, they pulled it with horses.
I think we were talking about cutting down some of these big trees. There was sort of a trick to that, about how to keep that saw going straight, if that's what you wanted to do. One guy on the other side, and you on this side.
You could keep them straight. There was no trick to that.
No trick to that?
No, I didn't think. Sometimes when we get some of them big trees and they had so darn much pitch in there, then we'd have to put a can of water up and let the water drip in there, you know, to keep it wet, moisture. That'd help some. And then we'd put two guys on each handle. Two on one side and two on the other.
Yeah.
Pull so hard in that pitch and it was sticky.
Yeah.
But then when we could get the wedges in there, we'd wedge it with a sledge, raise it a little bit, and then we'd have a little leeway in there. That'd help. Yeah.
Boy, those old trees, it's just almost hard to imagine that this country is just covered with them.
Yeah.
I don't know, when I was around Vernonia, I suppose you'd find about the same type of people up there that you would have found down here. Up there, you know, everybody's just built like trees, you know, just everybody's involved in logging.
That's true.
And like place up in Vernonia up here.
Oh, Vernonia,
place
yeah.
like that. Yeah. I imagine that's sort of like what Sherwood was like, you know.
Yeah, Vernonia though hasn't got too darn much timber left either.
No, oh no. But it's, they're cultivating it.
I got 80 acres of timber between St. Helens and Vernonia.
Oh. You own a lot of property around here. Yeah, that was a smart thing to do, though.
Yeah. Well, I sold some of my beaver dam here last April to Bischoff. You heard of Bischoff?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I sold it away, but I couldn't handle it no more. No design. I got 30 acres here I could raise onions on if I wanted. It's a hard one.
Yeah. What kind of onions are they? That's one thing I never
get. Yellow Denvers.
Yellow Denvers. They're all the same? All that same?
Yeah, everybody raises about the same. Some of them, a few of them raise a few of these here hybrid. Mm-hmm. We call them hybrid onions, you know. And they're pretty near the same looking onions. They're all stronger in the Deacons.
Yeah? You mean stronger, you mean tasting? Or?
You know, they make your eyes burn, and they burn your mouth too when you eat them.
No, they're that strong.
I don't know, I don't like onions.
You don't sell anything locally, do you, or do you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, my folks bought some from you.
Huh?
I think my folks bought some from
you. Well, they bought them from my grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they were selling something on the road. My boy, he had their dad give them to them, and they got a few dollars, then they didn't do no more. And they had a bunch here to sell yet, but they didn't go up and do it. So yesterday I sold them all. The old guy come along and he was, I don't know, 30-some sacks of them. Sold the whole thing to him.
You ever wonder what kind of recipes these things end up in over there in Japan? You ever wonder, out what happens over there?
They use an awful lot of onions in Japan. The Japanese cook an awful lot with onions, I heard that. I don't know much about it. I never was in Japan.
Kind of interesting to taste one of those dishes, see what they do with it.
Yeah. Linda says when she goes to work, she rides with David most of the time to Gaston from here. Early in the morning, there's a herd of them up here between Newburgh and Gaston on that road going through there, out the wheat field there every morning at about 10 or 11.
What about wildlife when you were a kid? Do you remember? Do you think there's the?
When I was a kid, I never seen a deer around here. And here, they used to come here on our lawn.
Yeah. You get deer on your lawn?
Yeah, as my wife, David wanted to kill one. It was during the season, and she wouldn't let him shoot him.
Yeah.
She didn't want him killed. But since then, there've been lots of them killed here.
Yeah. Well, there's deer, right? Even down here.
Yeah.
Coyotes. There's a lot of coyote here now. Do you ever get them over here?
No, I never have seen one, but they say they're here.
Yeah, they're up there. The old shepherd has trouble with them, you know.
Yeah, old true shepherd.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Next to...
Walkman?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Harold Ruprecht, they have them down here. They start up howling every time the fire engines go by, you know.
Uh-huh.
So they're... I don't know what it is. Maybe there's just less forest or something.
There's some fox around here.
Fox? I've seen some of those red fox.
Uh-huh. And there's these here doggone old, what do you call them? Possums. You know what they are?
Yeah.
That's too bad they ever come here.
Oh, that's terrible. They're the creek bottom. They're just infested with
them. They brought them in during World War II up here at Camp Adair. That's up near Corvallis, you know, Captain.
Yeah.
And then people from the middle states or down south brought them up here and turned them loose. That's what I've been told, anyway.
Yeah, I know they were brought in.
Yeah, they're all over the country here now.
And they had the nutrient down here for a while, too.
Yeah, we got a lot of them down here on the
creek. Here.
And they raise some carrots down here on the Beaver Dam, and they eat them carrots and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was another thing they came by.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be in South America.
Yeah.
But you don't remember too much wildlife at all, probably.
No. No, I...
Because I know a lot of people, they said, I know my dad says, it just, there wasn't any.
Not around here.
He remembers the Timberwolf. I guess his mother was playing with the Timberwolf, thought it was a dog, or, you know what it was. Something like that, somebody in the family.
Well, there used to be lots of Chinese pheasants here when I was a boy.
Yeah, now that's another thing that was brought in.
They're just about gone now.
I see a few of them down in Newbury.
Yeah, well, there was six roosters used to come here every day here at our place, and now there's only one comes here.
I think your mom almost ran over it the other day.
Yeah.
She said there was one just standing right out there in the middle of the road, an old Chinese rooster.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but there's not very many, and the grouse disappeared too.
Yeah.
You know what they are.
Yeah, and then that's another thing. There's wildlife that isn't here anymore, like the hoot owl. Remember that call?
The hoot owl?
The hoot.
Oh, yeah, there's some of them here yet.
You still hear them?
Oh, yeah.
What about nighthawks? Do you see them around?
No, not very often. Once in a while there's one, but not very much. But these hoot owls, there's a lot of them around.
There are.
In these woods, you know, they stay in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah? But there used to be these grouse that used to hoot. They hooted, you know, in mating time along, and this time of the year, about the last of February, they hoot. You could hear them in the tall trees. They were good eating birds.
Yeah.
They were better than Chinese pheasant. But they're all gone. Yeah. Then there was the native pheasant, the quail.
But we have quite a lot of quail here in the summertime, but in the wintertime they disappear. You know, then in the springtime they come back.
Well, it's ground around here too. Yeah.
That was quite a time. They had all these trees that'd be worth so much money now, they were just in your way, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember in the olden days they used to, the farmers, in the wintertime, you know what they did? They made fence rails.
Uh-huh.
You know what that kind of
rail fence?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Everything was rail fences. There was no barbed wire or any other kind of fence, only rail fences. But in the beaver dam, they didn't have them because the high water would come up and take them away, you know. Mm-hmm. They had to use, they drive them down with a maul, the post, then they wouldn't pull out of the water, couldn't pull them out so easy. And then they had the 4-inch boards there. All that land was fenced there at one time. Everybody's place. There, you'd be surprised, there's about 20 owners down here on this here swamp.
Is that right?
Some of them got 4 or 5 acres, some's got 3 or 4, some's got 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And what I was going to tell you, I forgot now what
about
I was.
About the rail fences, I was going to ask about wood piles.
No.
Here, my cookies are kind of
oh,
cold.
Oh,
help
boy.
Yourself.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You can eat them all. I'm going outside
oh,
now.
They smell good, too.
Dave won't eat any, so no use offering
them. Who was that at the door a while ago?
That was Davey and Jimmy.
What did they want?
He wanted to show you, he wanted to get a file, and he fixed that shell that the knife played in it.
Uh-huh.
And I told him.
Son?
Yeah, young Davey.
Yeah.
I told him that you had company, you should come tomorrow. So he's coming back tomorrow to show it to you, and he wants you to file something.
They were so anxious to get rid of these trees, they bore a hole in them when the tree was standing, you know. Bore a hole straight into the tree, like this is a tree. They bore a hole like that, straight level across. Then they bore another one up about a foot from that hole, and bore it down like this to meet this hole. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Then they take and get oak wood or ash wood, something that was hardwood, and burn it so it'd make coals, you know. You know what the coals
uh-huh.
are. And then they put them coals down in that hole, then they had a bellus, and they'd blow it, you know what
oh,
bellus?
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
And they just burn it out.
You know, they use that bellus like that, keep on, you know, and make air go in there, and then coals would pretty soon start a little blaze, and that their trees start burning. Then when it got a good start, then they quit doing that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it for maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. Just depends. Sometimes they'd have a hit pitch in there, you know,
yeah.
in the tree, then it'd start right off. And then that there would burn sometime for a month. Pretty soon the tree fall. That way they didn't
that,
have to
I
sort
never
it
heard
out.
Of that.
Oh,
heard.
Yeah. They used to do that. And then the tree would fall to the ground. And if they could make wood out of it, they would. Some of them wouldn't, but not very many of them did. And then they'd go probably 15, 20 feet further, make some more holes like that, and burn it all up, that there tree. Burn it up. Now if they had them today, look what they'd be worth.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
$1,000 a piece.
Yeah. You know, I burnt a lot of stumps that way myself. Stumps, we do that same thing like that. Bore straight into them like that and then down slant like that to meet the hole, see? So then you'd have a vent, see? Then put the coals down in this here hole and blow it for a while. Sometimes we'd just use our hat like that to fan it for a little while and it'd start.
But I'm not sure I got it straight yet. You probably said this to me now. I know I've asked you about twice now, but you came out here from Portland with your parents, and you lived for a time over on the other place.
Yeah, I said.
And then when you moved here, you moved here with your parents then?
No, my parents never did leave here. My
the other place.
Oh yeah, I lived with them up there. Yeah,
yeah. They never left there.
Huh?
They never left there. They you.
No,
you
they
got married,
both of them
moved
died
here,
up there. Both of them died there.
Yeah, we built all these buildings since we've been married. Everything
on this place.
Yeah.
That's right.
We cleared all this ground around here, too. Yeah.
the wall right up. Yeah. Several Model Ts with quite a car.
Yeah. So you could make a 90-degree turn a little with it.
Yeah.
Directly.
If it stuck in the mud, you could get out and lift it up.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't very heavy. Yeah.
No, I used to do that. My dad told a full story about his dad. First time he drove one. He drove into Salem together with the dealer. I guess the dad and one of his brothers in the car. I don't think he went over more than 10 miles an hour the whole way. You know, he just would not go any faster. Kids were riding by on their bicycles, you know. It took all day to get the Salem and back.
Yeah.
And he finally got it back up here. He was going to head for the barn or something. And he, for some reason, he got his eye on a wood pile and he just headed straight for it. You know, was the only, apparently he thought it would sidle up the wood pile and stop or something.
Yeah.
But it took took something in the brain to catch up with it.
Yeah, probably when we're used to anything like that, you know. Yeah, I know when they, had automobiles and they had funerals, you know, some of the guys that had an automobile would go to the funeral in the car and the rest of people thought, oh, that was awful. People going to cut it. There's an automobile to the funeral. Now look at it. Yeah.
Well, you must remember the Mormon brothers.
Oh, boy, do I.
I guess they had a home brew that used to break out. You can only tell when it was ready. Grandmother said, you can go look out, everybody's heading for them. And they were, when everybody tasted blackberry wine, wasn't it?
Yeah, they used to make wine all the time, yeah.
That was a big family, the Mormon family, one thing.
Yeah, they owned that Ruprecht place over there. Yeah. And then they moved to Sherwood, and they bought the hotel in Sherwood, because in a saloon, right there where the old bank used to be. They got a restaurant there now, I think. Haven't they on the corner, Gerda?
Yeah.
They own that there. He did, the old man. And he owned a lot of land on the other side there where it's all houses now. Yeah, Carl and Theodore lived up here where this here big building is.
Where?
Carl and Theodore Mormon. Yeah, that was their name, Carl and Theodore.
Oh, I see.
They have been gone so long. They used to work for us all the time.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They were the onion farm there?
Yeah, I rented land to them here too. They raised onions on my place. There was a two of the nicest, most honest men that ever lived.
That's what I heard.
Just as honest as could be. Nice people.
They didn't come any better than most people.
Yeah, they were nice people. But oh boy, you ought to know how they lived though. They were very clean.
Yeah, I heard Uncle Raymond, and never bothered his preservative because they used to take his records over there. Yeah, bring the records over and listen to them over the Mormon brothers and the dirt would be up against the wall. Terrible thing to say about, but
yeah,
they never bothered.
No.
Well, it didn't hurt them because they both lived to be old men.
Yeah.
They were, I think, 83 or 84 years old, both of them.
Maybe there's a lesson to be learned there, maybe.
Yeah, they were great guys, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I was just telling Gerda that tomorrow would have been Theodore's birthday. Theodore was the one, and he held his neck kind of like this.
Yeah.
You've heard about that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I've seen him. I've heard
him. Oh, you know him. Yeah. Yeah. And there was something wrong. I think he must have had probably infantile paralysis.
I remember his shape.
Yeah, that's like that. Yeah. And tomorrow would be his birthday. He's born on leap year. See, that's very nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to have a party then. And they, did you know Dorothy Blumen? She died.
I went to her funeral.
Yeah, I was a pallbearer.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was their niece, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She was their niece.
Being
Blumen was related to him, so that was his mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they'd come down there and two or three other ladies and clean up the house. And then they'd have a dance, you know. And they'd have a keg of beer all the time.
They'd have a dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
it
was your kind of dancing? What year would that be now? Approximately.
Well, it was some kind of a German dance that Theodore Carla dance up together when they get half drunk, you know. Oh boy, I thought it had more fun than I don't know what. And so Carla was pretty good playing there. That one of these Constantinos, the accordion, he was playing that. He wasn't too bad, but he was pretty fair. But Theodore didn't think he was playing it right. He said, let me show you. He gets it, and he was feeling pretty good, and he kept a pulling, he pulled it apart. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I had to go up there. They'd come and tell me, now you got to come there. Oh, they'd be full house there. Oh, yeah. Everybody had a big time. We plenty to eat. We used to bring all the time. I think used to bake cake for us 2 days ago.
Oh, they furnished most of it themselves.
Most of it, yeah, they did.
They take a beer and you would go and you stay all night.
Yeah, they were nice guys.
There was a sleepwalker too.
What?
There was some fellow was famous for walking in his sleep. Now that was
one of the Mormons?
I don't know. It might have been. But he'd walk for miles. And he'd come back and he'd never know that he had been gone.
I never heard that.
Yeah. Well, maybe I didn't.
They had a brother named Bill Mormon. And he lives over there by Midway.
And then he lives up here across from where Walt Mel's
is. Yeah, but Mel's is a place over here. Yeah, across by the church. I don't think he did that. No, I know I used to take him to the doctor in Portland here. You know, all three have to go along. And they used to be riding down here and it'd be showers come up, you know, and they had umbrellas, and they hold the umbrella over and leave with one hand, you know, on their hands and knees.
That was kind of not too unusual, people carry around umbrellas.
They always had umbrellas, though. Wherever they went, they carried an umbrella. Okay.
It sound like a bunch of gossip, but it is interesting. Now, they had a little expression that they used, didn't they? I remember when they come, my dad tells me, when they come to church, they get there and they compare watches. And every morning they compare their watches. And they had a little expression that whenever you were talking to them, one of them would say something like that.
Yeah, you'd be talking to them, they'd go, ask next. Carl did that mostly. Then Carl, you know, lost his leg, you know, at the last there. He had, I guess, diabetes. Mm-hmm. He had to take his leg off, you know. Anyway, Theodore, Carl couldn't get around with one leg very good, you know.
Yeah.
And Theodore was going to show him, he's feeling pretty good, you know. They like to drink, but they wouldn't get player drunk. It's always kind of their business, but they like to drink a little. He was going to show him how to go, you know. And he took that and started hopping around with his crutch, and he fell down and couldn't get up. His brother was going to show that guy that had his leg off, you know.
He was too late, fell down, and couldn't get up.
Yeah, he just laid down there. He couldn't get up for a while. I guess finally got up, maybe, but Carl laughed at him to beat everything. Oh, they got along good together. So they never was married, you know. Never was. They got along real good. Yeah, I wish there was more of them like them. They were sure nice people.
Do you think it's possible for people to live like it did in those days? Sometimes I hear these old stories. It seems like people are, when you're out by yourself living for a long time, you act a little different than you would if you live in the city. Like,
yeah, well, they were different as far as that goes, you know, but they always set their table on just like they, like a family would, but they never watched it.
They're
always... There's about that much room in a big split, you know, that's just meat and stuff around there. There's about that much space there that you can put food in, the rest is all
3 inches in the middle.
Oh, man.
Let's be 85 and...
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Now you remember anybody out here that was Scottish or English or Swedish?
Swedish and Irish, lots of Irish I knew. And
You didn't know me, so I came to disciple.
No, you were a teacher at the disciple school? Not that disciple down there.
Yeah.
That building is still there.
I was an upper grade teacher and principal.
What year would you have been there? In about 1953 or 4?
Before that.
Because I know I used to go to the St. Paul school. We used to play the baseball for a while. You know, softball.
Yeah, that was Ruth graduated from high school, left our daughter, in 1950. And David graduated from high school in 53. And so they were both in high school. And I taught back in what?
In 27, 28?
26.
27.
I thought
he
was
28
the first year.
Yeah. Yeah,
26.
He was over there.
Yeah,
27. Well, you're a college graduate then.
There's lots of teachers. I have a sister older than mine.
And I have a sister younger than I, and she's a teacher now.
She's a
librarian in
Charles
S. Tiger School. Okay. And I have a brother of the
teacher.
Mel, you know Mel, don't you? Anderson. Anderson, yeah. Well, he's my brother.
I see.
And Fred Anderson, attorney of Tiger's mother. And Irvin's my brother. And Fred's wife, Vivian,
No, I don't.
Well, you know Johnny Anderson.
Well, I don't know. These people.
Well, Urban goes to
Lutheran
Church real regular, and Johnny, I think he picks up the collection at the early service. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's a sophomore at Putnam State. Mm-hmm. And Nelson's wife was a teacher. So I was lots of teachers in the family. And our daughter was a teacher. She taught Newbury High School.
Uh-huh.
She graduated. That's Johnny Anderson.
That's what he looks like now?
Well, this is taking two years when he graduated from high school.
So that's your grandson?
No, that's my nephew. That's Irvin.
Okay.
Irvin's home.
Not grandson, sort of, yeah.
No, that's, I got some grandchildren, though. Here's, our oldest granddaughter. She's a freshman at Oregon State. Our daughter and her dad both graduated from Oregon State. Here's a better picture of it.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Well, David's got four, and Ruth has three.
You know David, don't you, my boy?
Yeah, your grandson?
No, my son.
Yeah, I know your son, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Huh?
Your grandson is in my Sunday school class.
Who's that, Mike or Dave?
Dave.
Oh, yeah.
She's
she made a 4 point. Her first term at Oregon State, she got a 4 point.
All right, so your granddaughter Gina again is on the honor roll too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So that's David's daughter.
And this is our daughter, this is sister, the one you just saw. She's a sophomore at Sumpton High over here by Beauty. This is her brother, he's in the eighth grade. And she's a 4 point student. He's not quite that good, but very near. And this girl you saw a little bit ago.
Her
name is Fisher.
Fisher.
Jim Fisher, you know the board dealer?
And board there.
Now he's their dad.
Oh, I
see. Showing her his sister, but there's his sister.
Oh, I guess this one.
So if I have to go get a board, I'll have to go get his sister.
He's a good guy, I'll tell you that. I couldn't have a better son-in-law than I knew.
Yeah.
And this is me and our daughter taking business and we were going to potentate the Al Qaeda Shiner Temple and left his picture. And that's our daughter. They graduated from Oregon State in the same class.
You have a lot of attractive children.
Yeah, well, this is Mike, you know Mike.
Yeah.
little baby.
I want to kill a darn mean dog. He's always bothering me, I'm going to kill him. If I can get the gun, well, he loaned me the gun. So, well, this guy, I don't know whether he came on or what, he got into a quarrel with him, and he threatened to kill him, and he pulled out his gun and shot. But he didn't die right away. They took him to Portland. I think they hauled him to Portland on the first train. The freight train came along before the passenger train, and the freight train always carried one coach to carry passengers too. They didn't have so many trains here,
did they? Call it the red electric?
No, that was way before the red electric. And then when they had the red electric, there was one about every hour. There was a lot of that's, I guess, when your father went to school.
Yeah, he didn't remember. They would have to get a good shot.
And then they took him to Portland and he died.
Yeah, what happened?
We got a good shot. And then they took him to Portland and he died.